I guess let's, okay, so let's first do is remember, we're in the middle of trying to figure out how the Gemara learns out that Rodeh, that you could kill a Rodeh. Okay? So originally in the Mishnah we had this this idea of the that you have Hatzala, you have to save one guy, but you have to save another guy. So how do you decide between the people? So he said that since you're saving the Rodeh from Avera, from sinning, that's the Machriya, that's the deciding factor between the two lives. That's what we said on the Mishnah. Based on Rashi and the fact the Mishnah is referring to saving the sinner, so he said that's the role of the saving the sinner, that's the deciding factor between the two lives. That's what we had said. Okay? Good? Then the Gemara wants to know what's the source. Can I get it to share? It's a shock. Okay. So then we said basically, and then you have the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, where's the source of the fact that you could save, you kill the Rodeh? So it says, because you're not allowed to stand by idly and watch the guy die. So the Gemara, so the Gemara asked, yeah, but that doesn't mean, even if the guy is, even if it means at the expense of the Rodeh's life, that just means if a guy is drowning or whatever. How do you know that means that you have that you have a right to kill the other guy? That's not standing idly by. The only option is to kill the Rodeh. Well, what? You need a lima to teach me that. So we said, the Havmina is difficult. What was the sense? How did you even think that you could? Thank you. That you could learn that out from saying, Nothan al Namreacha. So we said that there is a perspective in which it makes sense, which is that you could look at the Rodeh as like a chafza, at the pursuer as an object. As that which is endangering the Nirdaf. And if you just look at what's going on here, is I am not involved in killing the Rodeh. I'm involved in saving the Nirdaf. And saving the Nirdaf means at all expenses, at all costs, whatever it is, I don't care. I'm just looking at the Nirdaf. I see a guy whose life is on the line and I have to save him. So if you look at that framework, you're not punishing or you're not attacking the Rodeh, you're just saving the Nirdaf. But the Gemara says that's very nice. But what gives you a right? How do you know that you could look at it that way? Because bottom line is, the Rodeh is also a person. And you can't just say, that's what I'm doing. You can't just define your action purely from the framing of the Nirdaf. From the framing of the Rodeh, it's killing. So although you could look at it that way, you need a limud to teach me, you need something extra which will teach you that you have a right to do that, halachically. That you have a right to do that. And short of that, there's no extra pasuk. Sa'adam Re'echa is just a regular pasuk. So you have to... It saves somebody, but how do you know? You need something more to tell you that you could that's the way to look at the case of a Rodeh. Okay. So as we said, so the Gemara writes, the Gemara says you need a proof. You can't just say that from Svara. Svara alone doesn't allow you just to look at it from the perspective of the Nirdaf. You have to look at the Rodeh also. So the Gemara says you're right. It learns it out by from Naamarasa. By rape, if someone's chasing a girl to rape her, it says because she's not punished, because she was crying out, and no one was there to help her. No one was there to save her. Okay, no one was there to save her. So the implication is, but if someone is there to save her, then you save her, no matter what. Even though there may happen to be some other guy there or not, you still save her no matter what. So that shows... And you could kill the Rodeh, okay? Because you're saving her no matter what. So and then once you have that, then you get into Kal Chomer, Hekesh, whatever. But let's take by rape. So we were just wondering, is like, okay, so what's the idea? Is that a new idea? Is there a different idea? And how does that jive with saving? Doesn't seem to be pointing to saving the sinner from his sin, but yet Rashi does reference that. Rashi brings that in again. So how do these kind of work together? Like, what's the limud here? And how does this jive with the Rashi and the Mishnah seems to be pointing to that you're saving the Rodeh from his Avera? Like, how do you put it all together? That was kind of our question. Much of a question. Again, I'm not asking so much of a problem. It's just like, it would be nice to get a picture of what's going on here. Because when we looked at our Mishnah, we had one svar. This idea of the Machriya, of the, of saving him. And now the limud doesn't point to that in any way. The limud is pointing to some sort of other idea, which is that you could just look from the perspective of the girl and not the, you know. So, like, is that... And then ignore the other guy. Look at him as like a chafta or something like that. At least that's the way we were talking about it originally. So, is the Gemara going back to that idea? Is that, like, why, if the limud is this, then what's... Why is the Mishnah talking about saving him from Avera? You know, or is there some sort of a... How do these two things go together? Is there a discrepancy between what the Pasuk is implying and what the Mishnah is writing? Is there not a discrepancy? Then why does it seem like there's a discrepancy? Why do they just sound like they're not talking about the same thing? Even though they are, but they're not, you know. Say what I'm thinking, and we'll move on. We'll move along. Okay, so I'm thinking like this, is that... See, I think the limud actually is in line with the way we were looking at it by the Losan Adam Re'acha. Okay, because the way we set up by Losan Adam Re'acha, I didn't realize this at first, but the way we were looking at it is that if you look at it totally from the perspective of the Nirdaf, then you're just involved in saving. You're not involved in killing. Right? Shefa would be fine. How could you stand by and let the Nirdaf be killed? The Rodef is just an accident, a chafza, just like an object, the situation which happens to be endangering the Nirdaf. Fine. But the question is, how do you know you can look at it that way? Right? But it could be the Gemara's answer is the Torah tells you that you can look at it that way. Because that's the way the Torah looks at it. It says, because it's talking about the girl and saying, is she killed? She's not killed. Because she cried out and there was no one there to save her. But what do you mean there's no one there to save her? There's no one there to kill the Rodef. I mean, that's not exactly just saving her. Like that action, which means no one there to save her. It means the Torah is defining that as saving her. It's not saying stop the Rodef, kill the Rodef, anything the Rodef. It's just, the Torah is describing the thing as Ein Moshi Allah. What would you be doing if you guy came in there? You'd be saving her. I mean, so the Torah is describing the event. It didn't have to even say anything, apparently. It's extra. But it's saying it, and she cried out, and no one saved her. Which means that if you would come in and kill the guy, you'd be saving her. Okay? It didn't say there's no one there to kill the Rodef, to prevent the Rodef, to punish the Rodef, to stop the Rodef. It just, the Torah is describing it. It's from the semantics of the Pasuk. It is doing exactly what we explained would do it. Which is, it's describing the perspective totally from her standpoint. Saving her. No one was there to save her. Which implies that if you could do it, you could save her no matter what. What's the sense to that? How do you learn that out? Because it's saying is that if you encountered this situation and you'd come on the scene, you would be someone who would be faced with the obligation to save her. No matter what, it's not saying if ands or buts, it's not saying it has nothing to do with them. That's what you're doing. You're involved in saving her. And that's lima. The lima is that you can look at it that way. Showing you that is the case. But there's something missing about that. That's the limud, and that shows you that's the halacha. But you could push me and say, but how does that work halachically? Because bottom line is, he's also a person. So you're not really addressing the problem. Although the semantics of the pasuk point to the fact that that's legitimate, and that you could look at it that way, and that you have a right to save her and ignore him, but halachically, isn't he a person? And aren't you killing him? And isn't he a nefesh? And isn't she a nefesh? And therefore, what gives you that right? So it's true, you're showing me from the limud, from the pasuk, that is legitimate to look at it that way. But what's the sense to it? Bottom line is, halachically, he's a person, and you're killing him. And you're pushing aside his nefesh or a nefesh. So what's the, halachically, how does it work? Can't just say, just look at it that way. How does that work? But halachically, there's a clash. Ain't nothing nefesh and nefesh. It doesn't make any sense. So you can't just say, well, the Torah's saying, look at it that way. So the Gemara knows, the Mishnah knows, Rashi knows, that you need a mechanism. You can't just say that. What's the halachic logic to it? So even though it's true, that is the way the Torah is looking at it, but it must be there's a move which the Torah is using halachically, a mechanism whereby legitimizes describing it that way. And that's what the Mishnah is supplying, that you're saving him. That you're saving him from his avera, from his sin, and that's the machriya. That's the deciding factor, and that's what allows you to say that you're saving her. You save her. Saving her. Aye, what about him? Well, you're saving him also, because he's also being saved from Avera. So therefore, when you have a clash between his life and her life, because of the halachic factor of saving him from Avera, therefore, it's legitimate to take on the standpoint of looking at saving her. Aye, isn't he also a person? He's not just a chafetz. That's true, he's a person. But from his standpoint as a person, you're also saving him. So it's a service to him as a gavra also. You're involved in saving him also. So that's what allows you. So now that you have that in the hachra, now that you have that as the deciding factor, you could describe the situation as I'm saving her. And that's why the Gemara sometimes says you're saving her. Because that's what you're doing. The hachra allows you to say, now I could push him aside because I'm saving him also. Now if you'll say, what am I doing? I'm saving her. And I have a right to save her at all costs. Aye, what about him? Don't worry about him. You're saving him also. That's not what you're doing. You're not saving her from Avera. You're involved. The primary definition of your action is saving her life. It's just that if you'll ask, aye, but how do you do it at his life? You say, well, because since you're saving him also, so therefore from Avera, that leans the scales towards the fact that you could look at it as saving her. So therefore, when the Torah is writing in the Torah Shebech Sav, right, in the written law, the Torah itself, it writes, it's not telling you the halachic mechanism. It's describing the result. That is that the way the Torah views it is that you're involved in saving her. And you have a right to save her, no matter what. Nothing else gets in the way. That's the standpoint. But if you want to know what's the halachic mechanism, what do you do about the isser of killing him, and the fact that, how do you save her? What about him? So that's what the Mishnah is describing the thing, is describing the halachic structure of the thing. Torah is describing halachic structure, just giving you the conclusion and showing you how you learn it out. But the Mishnah knew, and Rashi knew to learn from the Mishnah, that what allows it to work is the halacha that you're saving him. Not just deciding. This is essential, because you have to decide between him and her. What are you going to decide? Who's better? So you can't say one's better than the other. But you're not really, by deciding her, you're not really saying she's better. You say, I'm saving her, and him, it's true, I'm killing him, but I'm also giving him, I'm also saving him, philosophically, his soul, you know. So in other words, so I'm not just deciding him versus her, it's I'm giving everybody something. So it's true, the primary framework is life, and it's like his life versus her life, but I'm not saying she's better than him, I'm saying one life and saving his soul versus just the life and not saving anyone and allowing him to do the sin. So that tips the scale. There's a sense of that tipping the scale. So that's the mechanism. And that's what the Mishnah's teaching is, that's the mechanism. That there's already another achiyav, and it's not just like a philosophical idea, there's a achiyav of saving the guy from the avera, saving the avera. Normally it doesn't go so far as to allow you to kill him. But here, given that it's a situation of a life for a life, so then that's a way that tips the scale. I mean, you're all right. I think that's what I think that's what Rav Chaim doesn't like. That part is what Rav Chaim didn't like, I think. Is that bottom line is life for life is a wash, and therefore that's it. And Pikuach Nefesh falls, that's it, closes up shop, and now you get into another whole other framework of Din. And that's what Rav Chaim is based upon. The fact that that's sticky, this point is a little sticky, because it's like a little, you know, seems Rav Chaim saying the Ram didn't go for this whole approach because of that type of problem. But it's not crazy, it's just that you're stuck, and there is a, you know, the deciding factor is the fact that you're also saving his life. But that's not what the Torah is not describing that, because the Torah Shabbat is describing the bottom line conclusion is that you're saving her. So that's what I'm showing is like there's a difference between Pasuk and the way the Torah is written and the way a Mishnah is written in a halachic discussion. You have a halachic discussion. But so this, the Torah is the source for the limud and for the idea, but it's not writing the halachic mechanism. It's right to be right describing the conclusion, and then you have to figure out what the halachic mechanism is. It's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting type of let's keep in mind. I don't know if I'm sure there are more examples of that. Okay, so further. So now the question is, so that's very good by rape. Now the question is, how do you know by killing? Right? If someone's going after to kill him, how do you know? Maybe it's not the same thing. So this says Kal Vachomer. Where it says, what do you learn Shemen then? How do you learn a Kal Vachomer here? So it's Onesh, and you can't learn it. You can't use Onshem. You can't use Kal Vachomer to teach you Onesh. So, question is, But first of all, you could ask, is that really an onesh? Right? I mean, onesh means punishment. You're not exactly punishing him. You're just saving her, saving the victim. Right? So the question is, what's the Havi Noskar about? Whether that would be considered Ochimandan or would not be considered Ochimandan? Okay, so something similar to what I guess Matt and Yehuda and Adam are saying. That I think maybe I want to frame it a little bit differently, but the same basic approach here is that like, how do you understand in Onshem Adam? You could say is like there's the Torah has a system called Onshem, a system of Onesh. Okay? There are different systems in the Torah. There's a system of Onshem. And under the system of Onshem, so to speak, the principle of Kal V'chomer applies to other systems. It doesn't apply to the system of Onshem. Okay? I mean, that's what we're doing. Like the Torah, when the Torah posited Kal V'chomer, it posited it in other systems, but it excluded it from the system of Onshem. Now, if you have to ask, would you classify this case of Rodev under the system of Onshem? Okay? So what do you say? No. You classify it under Pikuach Nefesh. You're saving life. You're not involved. It doesn't belong. For instance, the Rambam doesn't have it in Hilchos Sanhedrin or in Hilchos Onshin. He has it under Tzeach Shmias Nefesh. In terms of the thing of saving life and killing and saving. It's the what you're involved in is Hatzalah. You're involved in saving a life. You're not involved in an Onesh. An Onesh is when a guy sins, you punish him. Right? The Bezdin punishes him, whatever. I mean, it's not primarily, it's not a halacha. Like you see, for instance, if the danger is removed, or for instance, if you could save Har without killing him but by taking out a limb, so you don't kill him. So you see, it's not like he doesn't deserve a punishment of killing. Killing isn't, the killing is because you're involved in saving Har and you have to do whatever it takes. So if you have to, like, conceptually define what this is, what's this sugya about, it's not a sugya, an area of onshem. It's a sugya of saving life. Okay? Which parenthetically involves killing him. Right? Parenthetically involves killing him. Right? But you wouldn't say that's conceptually what's going on here. Conceptually, you're giving him an onesh. When you stone a guy, you're giving him an onesh. When you whip a guy, you're giving him an onesh. When you kill this guy, you're saving her. Even though it involves him. Even though it involves his death. But that's not conceptually what's going on here. So if you look at it as there's a conceptual system of onshem in the Torah, and that system is removed, is mufka, from the Kal V'chomer. Kal V'chomer was never applied to that system. This is not that system. Okay? So that's Avmina. If that's the case, this is not doing that onshem then. This is onshem to teach you halacha v'rodev, to teach you a din in Pikuach Nefesh. But the Gemara is saying that it's not the case. It's not a halacha in the system of onshem doesn't have Kal V'chomer. But it's a halacha is that onesh is a certain I guess you call it like a consequence, an effect, where the halacha is legitimizing a certain a consequence, a negative consequence to a guy because of his action, as a result of his actions. Right? So that's there's onesh vis-a-vis the nanash, the person who's being punished. Which is that a person is having a consequence, a halachically legitimized consequence being inflicted upon him based upon his action, his bad action. Okay, and that is what's going on here. Because why are you killing him? Bottom line is he's being killed. Halach is saying, yeah, kill him. Why? Because you're chasing her. You're the guy involved in Avera. Right? So insofar as the guy is concerned, the sinner is concerned, right? Or he'll say, what do you mean? You're just killing me. How do you kill me? So, well, you shouldn't have chased after her. So, as far as he's concerned, that is onesh. So, it's true, it's not halachically an action which is classified in the halachic system of onshin. But vis-a-vis the person, vis-a-vis the gavra is concerned, it is onesh. It is onesh. Okay, it is onesh. He's being punished. Vis-a-vis him, it's a punishment. Halacha is allowing him to be killed. Normally Allah protects a person, Allah is allowing him, saying you can kill him because of what he did. Okay, so So if that's the idea, if Ein Onshin Adin is measured from that framework, that is, it means you can't punish someone based on a Kal v'Chomer. You can't, you have no right, and hey, it's good with the Chalik HaSolom's idea, which is that you have no right to kill, attack another person purely based on your own spar, your own Kal v'Chomer. Right? Or that you can't onash. Oh, the, I'm going to back off this in a second, but just, I think that makes the idea a little clearer. That's the sense of the thing. The whole sense, at least according to Hilchos Olam, is that the Torah doesn't allow svara. Like the Torah, when the Torah wants someone to be killed, the Torah writes it explicitly. The Torah doesn't want you to derive killing people. Killing people should be because God said so. Okay, and here also you're killing a person. You're killing the Rodef. God should say so. You know, it's true, you'll say, but it's not halachically the system of onshin. The bottom line is, though, the guy is dying. Bottom line is, you're attacking this guy, and halacha is legitimizing it, and God didn't write it. God writes these things. If a person if an effect is happening to another person, legitimized by the Torah, God writes that. You know what I mean? Now, but you'll say, but technically it's not the system of onshin. That's not the point. It's not, Ein Onshin Adin is not a din in the system of onshin. It's a din in the effect of onesh to a person, that if the Torah legitimizes a person being attacked physically, then God writes that. Because in general, the Torah protects a person, and if the Torah wants the person to be killed or to be punished, then the Torah writes it. And if it didn't write it, then it must be, it's not the Torah's. It can't do it from Kal v'Chomer. That's not the way the Torah conveys to you that the Torah is not protecting a person, or the Torah is allowing you to kill a person. Yeah. The Havamina was, again, that the idea of Ein Onshin Minadin is that there's a system in the Torah called the system of Onshin, Hilchos Onshin. Okay, now you're trying to learn how Hilchos Onshin, the laws of Onshin, so you have different methods of deriving halachos. Most areas of halachos you could derive through either Mesorah, Sukkim, or from Kal v'Chomer. Hilchos Onshin, this, when you're studying Hilchos Onshin, you can't use Kal v'Chomer's. You can only use Mesorah, Sukkim. But when you, this doesn't come under Hilchos Onshin. This comes under Hilchos Rutsiach, Hilchos Tzaltikot Nefesh. So it doesn't belong in there. Now, vis-a-vis the person, whatever, but that's not, you classify the thing, but what is it? It's not an Onesh, it's a Hatzalah. You know? But the Maskana is that you don't, it's not a question in Hilchos Onshin. It's a question is that a Gavra, the Torah does not allow a person to be killed or to be punished without writing so explicitly. Torah protects a person, and it's the Torah's will that a person is killed or is punished is impacted negatively by the will of the Torah. The Torah writes it. God writes that explicitly. You know, so it doesn't go by the conceptual framework which it comes under. It comes by the effect on the person. Which is good. Again, it's good. I'm not saying the other way couldn't have worked with the Chazal also, but it's good. It's good with the Chazal's idea. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's. I think next time I want to do next week is Tosos Av. A little Tosos there, but it gets into Machteras. Okay. It gets into Machteras. So Machteras. Machteras is basically a guy who breaks into your house. And the Torah says, and we're going to do Machteras, is after we finish Rodef, we can go back to Machteras. But Machteras is a guy who breaks into your house, okay, and the halacha is you're allowed to kill him. Okay, why are you allowed to kill him? He's bringing to steal, right? Why? He's only coming to steal. But there's a chazaka that we know, the guy who's bringing to your house, he knows that you're going to stand up. You don't let a guy take all your stuff. Okay, remember, they used to store all their money in the houses, whatever. They didn't have like a bank, you know, thing. They had a bank. So basically, the guy's coming to your house, he's ready to steal your stuff. And like over my dead body, like there's a guy, is a chazaka, that a person was willing to stand up, to fight, to kill, in order to prevent the guy from stealing. And the criminal, the thief, knows this. And therefore, when a guy goes into your house, he's ready to kill. Right? It's true. I mean, even nowadays, a guy goes into your house, he's ready to kill. I mean, he may not be coming to kill, but he's ready to kill. He realizes that the guy is, like a bank robber. Every bank robber is willing to kill. I mean, you know that they're going to put up a fight. Someone's going to put up a fight. You have to be willing to shoot someone, otherwise you're not going to work on the bank robber, are you? You know? So you're willing, an assumption that he's willing to kill. So basically, he's willing to kill you, so you could, in self-defense, you could kill him before he kills you. Because he's like, the Gemara calls him like a rodev. Okay? It kind of calls him like a rodev, and it tells you that you save him. It calls him an ein lo dam. He's basically, ein lo dam means he's like a dead man. Halachically, he doesn't have, we can consider him like he's a dead man and you can kill him. Anyone can kill him. Okay? So, the Gemara wants to know, why does this Tosa saying is, why do you have to learn how to rodev? Why do you learn how to rodev from there? Because it's a Ram Basik there that says, ein lo dam, he's like a dead man and anyone can kill him. So why isn't that your source for rodev? Right, so that's what it's about. But Tosas, you'll see, draws some, there may be some distinctions between Rodev and Machteras. They're not exactly the same. So you look at Tosas, I mean, you got to look at that Gemara. He's telling you the Gemara on base. It's right on the, you know, on base. We passed it. But yeah, I mean, you have to get a little bit into try to get the facts a little bit from Machteras. See where he's referencing you and try to get, figure out what's going on there a little bit. Okay, maybe you have to look at the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah on Machteras. About Machteras, right on base of an Aleph. I mean, these are, they're interrelated. Rodev and Machteras are interrelated, so I guess. So whatever. So we'll try to get into that. Okay.